mom surviving life. Tough questions, real answers, awesome hacks.
Hello, and welcome to episode 36 of Mom Surviving Life. Today, Carla and I are going to be talking about clothing. Weird topic, but we have so many tips and tricks for clothing, from cost to how to organize and more. As always, please subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you are listening to us on. Also, please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/momsurvivinglife and on Instagram at momsurvivinglife, all one word. This is kind of sad. It's our last episode of 2021. Carla and I are going to take a six-week break. I need to prepare for Christmas and get everything done. Carla is insanely busy at work, as she has been saying in previous episodes, and needs a little more work hours in a day.
And to get ready for Christmas. And
I was going to say, and to get ready for Christmas and everything else.
We will be back in 2022.
February 1st.
Yes. We are very excited about it. And keep up on our social media, because we'll be posting there throughout this break. We won't be putting out a podcast episode.
Carla is going to kick my butt to make sure I start posting on social media more, me and the girls. I'm horrible at it. I always send pictures to her and she's like, I just posted. And I was like, I was going to try and post, but okay.
That's why I think you send me the pictures so I can post.
Let's start off with I'm going to say controversial topic, but how do you dress a baby? And I'm talking like newborn to 3 months, because every single time I see a very small baby, I either think that they're overdressed or they're underdressed.
Ideally for me, Ella was born in the summer and she had just a t-shirt onesie on and then was wrapped in blankets most of the time, because that's what you do to a newborn.
Go ahead.
Even that is almost overdressed.
So the girls were born in October. And we technically had under 3 months olds until the end of March, because all of November and all of December didn't actually count because they were preemies. So we had like small babies November, December, January, February, and March. So I was a newborn in the winter months. I was anywhere from a long sleeve onesie, because we'd be in front of the fireplace, to a polar fleece sleeper, bundled up in a blanket underneath the car seat cover thing that you wear in the winter and a bucket seat. It varied. It really did. The one thing that comes to mind was my cousin came and visited me in like July, and it was probably 25 degrees out and his kid had a sweater on. And I was like, would you wear a sweater in 25 degrees? And he goes, well, no, but like, it's a baby. And I'm like, okay, but they can't tell you when they're hot or cold. Their temperature just goes.
And because they're in their bucket seats, it goes up even more.
Yes. We have already posted a link about what a baby should be wearing according to, I believe, I can't remember which guidelines it is, but it's what your baby should be wearing regards to the temperature outside or the temperature of the environment that they're in. Like, Ella sleeps in the basement, as do the girls. So the temperature that our kids sleep in may be different than someone who lives in a house in Hawaii without air conditioning.
Or even a second floor house where the kids are on the second floor.
Or someone that's taking their kids for a walk and they live in Calgary or Winnipeg, because it gets mighty cold out there. New versus used clothing. I have nothing against new clothing. I have nothing against stores like Carter's and Oshkosh and Old Navy. It's cute. I have bought new clothes. But your child wears this outfit for maybe 5 minutes, and then they have a blowout, and then you wash it, and then you put it back on and it doesn't fit. And I'm not kidding.
Especially at like the newborn stage. Even as kids get older though, they're not wearing it. They're not wearing out clothes. They're not wearing enough to wear them out or doing anything to wear them out. And if you don't have the money to buy new, it's okay to get used. Erica and I are both big supporters of used clothing.
My kids currently wear clothes from 7 different children, 2 sets of twins, and 3 singleton babies. I have zero shame in hand-me-downs. I love hand-me-downs. Some of the clothes that I've bought from the other sets of twins, I did have to purchase, which I had zero problem with because they came from like a smoke-free, pet-friendly home, which is what my home is. There was zero issue with the clothing because it had maybe been worn 3 or 4 times and it wasn't even dirty. And with the laundry hack of peroxide and Dawn dish soap, anything that was stained or dirty, I was able to get out.
And I agree. I have 2 or 3 different moms handing down clothes to us. And whenever they're ready to get rid of it, I take it and I sort it and I wash it and I put it away for when Ella is ready to wear that size. Because most of them are bigger, obviously, or it wouldn't work. But, and then I wash it again, actually, before I put it in Ella's drawers to make it clean again, because it sits in our attic for until she's ready. So then I wash it again, sort it all, put it in her dressers, and away we go.
I will take it, fully wash it, sort it, put it away. When I go to take it out, I just speed wash it. That's an option on my washing machine. Just do that. Like, you don't need to fully wash it again, especially because it just sat there. And I find, too, that I'll spray it again, like, on the regular cycle when I first get it, and then again on the speed wash, and that generally will freshen it right up. But the girls use the same laundry detergent that I use because I use a natural one, and I don't find, like, if I have an issue with like dirty clothes, I'll put it in with my wash first. So like the clothing items are bigger if it has to transfer. Like I got a sweater that was covered in Cheeto dust. You know who you are. And I got it out and she's like, are you kidding me? How did you get that out? I'm like, I used Dawn dish soap and peroxide and then I pre-soaked it in my detergent. She's like, that's all it took? I'm like, yeah. Sent her a picture. It was like brand new. She's like, oh my God, I made her stop wearing it after she ruined it. I'm like, she didn't ruin it.
That's funny.
Also, the other thing I'll say about used clothing is do not underestimate places like Value Village. They do like a bag of clothes for like $4 or something. I was filling one up and I had gotten enough clothes that I was content with. And then I saw this really cute Columbia bathing suit. This was probably like a $50 item. All the tags were still, like, all the screen printing on the inside was still visible. It wasn't sun faded. It wasn't stretched out. It looked more or less brand new with the tags cut off. So I bought it because it just was going to make, there was room in the bag. So it didn't cost me anything extra to take this thing. And I gave it to my friend and she's like, oh my God, how much do you want for this? Like, it must have been like $40. And I was like, I took all the items in the bag and divided it by $4. And it was like 45 cents. Like, that is why I thrift shop and buy used clothes. I bought a Columbia bathing suit for 45 cents. It was brand new.
That's awesome.
She's still like, I can't believe you got it for 45 cents. I'm like, believe it. Like, I don't want anything for it. It was in the bag that I was buying anyways.
You definitely, if you're gonna do, like, go out and purchase used clothing, it does take time. You have to sort through a lot of clothes, but in the long run, you will save a lot of money.
Think about how much you make an hour and think about how long it would take if you spent an hour in the thrift store looking for clothes for your kids. The $20 an hour that I essentially make at my work is worth, in my opinion, it's worth it for me to go to the thrift store for an hour and waste $20 of my working time to save close to $200 to $300 of retail purchase value of clothing?
Absolutely. I feel like we need to mention again that Carter's and Oshkosh, if your tags are still on, you can return them. And like, this is not
just Carter's.
Oh, is it just Carter's?
That's just Carter's. The Oshkosh is, if they outwear it before they outgrow it, they will replace it. So if your child is a little boy and you live in Canada, I'm sure you're aware that your child plays something called mini sticks. If you don't know what that is and you don't live in Canada, we have, I don't know, what are they, 18-inch plastic hockey sticks?
Yep.
And every child, some girls even, play with them, and they play with them on their knees. And numerous children wear out the jeans that they have when they play mini sticks because they play them for hours and hours and hours over and over again at everyone's house. When I was working retail back when I was like 17 years old, this mom used to come in once a month. She had three boys. So she would buy boy number one, the oldest, a pair of Oshkosh pants from the store that I worked at. She would bring them back a month later. The knees would be worn out. She got a new pair. Now, this is back when a pair of jeans was like, I think, $15 to $20. And that sounds like not a lot of money for a pair of Oshkosh. This woman continued to do this for about 2 to 3 years with the same pair of jeans because they'll just keep replacing it as long as you have the pair. She no longer had a receipt after a period of time. She forgot it. We still honored it because it's Oshkosh. So they just had to replace it in the same size that she bought it in. That was the only stipulation. And if they don't have that pair of jeans or that t-shirt anymore, they'll give you the equivalent value. So if it was a $13 t-shirt, they'll give you another $13 t-shirt. But it has to be 2T size or 4T or whatever it is. I don't know about you, but if I have five-year-old boys, I'm definitely buying them Oshkosh jeans because they'll be worth it to replace them.
Absolutely. That's a good thing to know. Do you want to explain the Carter's one again, just to make sure it's on here?
Sure. So the Carter's rule that I found out, can't remember who told me this, but, and this is post-COVID. I have done this post-COVID. Carter's, if you take clothing back and it still has the tags on it and it's unworn, they will return it for, I believe it's either the last listed value of the item or the equivalent value of the tag value prior to clearance. So if you have a $14.99 outfit, that's essentially $15 in Carter's cash that you can exchange for something else. I can't fully remember if you exchange, it's the full value. If you get the gift card of, it's the clearance value, depending on what it is. But it's still worth mentioning that don't take the tags off of the stuff, especially if you have a baby shower and you get a oodle load of clothing. Don't take the tags off of stuff. I had friends that, and I think Carla had this issue where someone was being helpful, so they took all the tags off of all the newborn stuff that you got at your baby shower, and they washed it, and they put it in the closet for you. Your baby wore five items. Because as a newborn, they came out 8 pounds, and you're like, well, you're wearing newborn for two days, and then you're in 0 to 3 months. Now, I had a lot of newborn stuff because my kids were in newborn for about 2 months. But we were also in NICU for the first month. We had to size into newborn clothing, which you almost never have to do.
And that's like leads us right into buying clothing too far ahead of time. Or I want to say also buying clothes for someone else's child.
Everyone always asks me with the girls, oh, what can I get them? And I'm like, I don't know. I've been very blessed. I've been very, very, very blessed with hand-me-downs and being given clothes and having lots of clothing options that are from different seasons for my children. It's amazing. However, if someone says to you, I don't need any more clothes, they literally mean they do not need any more clothes. Stop buying them clothes.
I know for me, when going through the clothes we already have and like the time and season, if people ask, then it's like you have a specific, like, oh, we don't have any long sleeve onesies. Like very, like the moms will have a very specific ask if they do need something. It's not going to be,
oh, just some clothes.
Yeah. Like it will be very specific.
Okay. So I have to laugh at this because my mom and both my grandmas asked me what to get the girls for Christmas. And my mom is a thrifter like me. Like she will go to Value Village for like 2 hours and come out with like, I got this Derek Alexander purse. It was $4. And oh, I got this Under Armour sweater and it was $6. Like she goes crazy, but she's there for like 4 hours. And I was like, I need size 6 Sorels. I need a snowsuit for Kinsley. I need this, this, this. And if anyone's listening, I have actually checked off these items off my Christmas list. Please don't buy them for me. We've found everything. But like, it's so specific. I'm like, I need this size of these boots. I need this dress. I need X. I need Y. Like, it's so oddly specific what I need. And it's like, don't deviate from the plan.
No, because that's what you need and not a bunch of extra.
It's really hard too, because like, and I'm guilty of it. Like, I'll go shopping and I'm like, but it's just so cute. I'm just going to hold on to it for someone else. It's like, oh my God, I'm doing what I literally hate.
Yeah.
There are some times where I find like the perfect item. Like, I found the perfect item for my sister-in-law and brother when they have a baby. I'm not going to say what it is because I'm waiting.
So our biggest issue with buying clothing too far ahead of time, or even just other people buying Ella clothes, they buy her the size in which her age is right now, and that doesn't coincide. So she got a bunch of clothes for her birthday, which is in July. She is now in 12-month clothes, and it's December. So there is a bunch of super cute outfits that she never got to wear because they didn't fit her until winter. So just keep in mind, if you do want to buy someone's children clothes, ask them what size they're in, because it really is a shame that she didn't get to wear the outfits that were bought for her because the sizes were too big.
I'm wondering if you still have the tags on some of those clothes, even if they're not Carter's, if you could take them back to the store where they're from and see if they'll exchange the same outfit for a bigger size, especially if it's like a pant, undershirt, sweater combo thing.
They might have if I did it when it was her birth, like when it was around her birthday, but probably not now because they probably don't have it.
I have tried at Walmart to exchange something with the tags on it for the next size up. And depending on the Walmart, it worked. I have yet to try that at Joe Fresh, but that is another place that I would try it at. I don't really know. Like, I would try and see, like, look, she got this for her birthday and it's great and everything, but it doesn't fit her at her birthday. And now it's the wrong season. Some places will be understanding, especially right now with the supply chain issue. I feel like we could probably get away with returning a lot more stuff because it literally just puts stuff on the shelf.
Right.
It's kind of my plan. And like the next little bit is to like go to some stores and be like, I have some returns, but I don't have a receipt and I would have zero issue just taking a gift card. I feel like with the supply chain issue that we're currently having, they may be a little bit more lenient on the no bill receipt, like the no bill return policy.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'll post that on our social media if it ends up being successful for everyone listening. The one thing I want to touch on too with buying clothing too far ahead of time is something a friend of mine told me she was super upset about. So she went to like some outlet malls. I forget where she was. And she bought this super cute formal baby dress for her kids. She knew she was going to have a girl. She was going to a wedding. It was around the right time. The wedding comes and goes. She totally forgets she has this perfect formal wedding dress for her baby in the back of her closet. The wedding's passed. She no longer needs it. The baby doesn't fit into the size anymore. And she goes, great, what am I supposed to do with this now? She's like, I can't sell it. No one's going to want this formal baby dress. And that's an issue I have with buying too far ahead is you're so focused on like, oh, this is going to be perfect for X. You actually forget that you bought it unless it's like front and center. You see it every day, which is another reason why sorting the clothes by size is a good idea, because then you go through the size when it comes up and you're like, oh, this is really cute. I have this, I have X, I have Y. Oh, I'm going to make them wear all these things, as opposed to just forgetting that you have it.
Okay. That brings us to our next topic, which is organizing clothes.
When you get hand-me-downs, like Carla and I have said earlier in the episode, organize based on size. I have a pile right now in my 2T bin of like Halloween stuff, Christmas stuff, Easter stuff. So when it becomes a holiday, I revert back to the size, like the bin that I have in a specific size. And I go, okay, where's my Christmas stuff? Where's my Easter stuff? So I have it. So I don't have to have it floating and all the rest of their other stuff, but I actually know where to find it.
That makes sense. I tend to just put it in with the rest of her clothes and then dig for it later. But organized by size. I also highly recommend diaper boxes for this because depending on how much you have, bins get expensive.
I have bins for 2+, like 2 teep up, but the month clothing, so like newborn 0 to 3, 3, all of that's in diaper boxes.
They are very good to store stuff.
Yeah, I think as they got bigger, like I think my 12 months and then my 12 to 18 is in a Rubbermaid tote together. And then I have 18 and an 18 to 24 is in a tote together. But, and then I think I have one tote of, I have a few different totes, but a lot of my stuff is in diaper boxes now because I've just transferred it into that. So I can like freely be like, here's a box. I don't want a bag.
Right. They're just really handy to have and they're sturdy.
Okay, dressing the baby with ease. What's the sleep hack? What I put that on here. Now I can't remember what it is.
I have no idea.
Oh, I probably mean the sleeper hack.
Probably.
Okay. Here's a few tips that I've, now that I'm remembering what it is. So the sleeper hack. Everyone hates those dome sleepers because you go to do it up and it's always mismatched. And you're like, ugh. Okay. So you start at the neck. And you start there and you go all the way down until the clasps on the front of the sleeper are the same. And then you go ankle to ankle when you're dressing the kid. And I've never had a mismatch since then. And if I do, I just have to pull open like half a leg. It's very easy. It works faster when you have to do 2 kids in domes daily because you have to change their diapers 6 times a day. It works. Put the undershirt on under like feet first and then put their hands in, especially as 2-year-olds, like my kids like to put their hands in themselves. So I just like pull the undershirt up like to their bum and then pull it to their shoulders and their hands are now essentially they're all inside their arms out in their sleeves yet. Now they do their arms themselves. For sleepers, put the arms in first. This is something from like, I'm going to say newborn. I think I told you this, put the arms of the sleeper first because they try and roll away. But if they're in their sleeper, it's a lot easier to shove a foot in a leg than it is the arm, especially when they're crocodile rolling.
Yes, absolutely.
Something else is give your child the illusion of choice. I think you've started doing this where you pick your outfits out basically now every, I'm going to say third day, because
yeah,
you pick them out just about every other day. I have to pick them out every day because I have two kids. So I pick out 2 outfits and I'm like, which one do you want to wear? I do it and they're the same freaking outfit. I don't give a crap. So I'm like, which red shirt do you want? It's like, they're literally the exact same, but they then think that they're picking and then they're more excited to get dressed. They don't take their clothes off. I mean, I don't know if we're at the age where they're going to take their clothes off, but they feel more empowered that they're choosing what they wear. So they're like, I pick this out.
Yeah. Ella picks sometimes, but she doesn't really care at this point.
Kinsley is the queen of sass. She definitely is, I want to pick. And if I don't have time to let them pick their outfits because we're late and I got to go to daycare and I got to get stuff done, I just let them pick out their socks. And that's generally enough.
Sleepers.
Don't put your kid in 47 layers.
No. All babies tend to sleep warm already.
Yeah, like, it was -1 last night and my kids slept in cotton sleepers and a cotton sleep sack and they weren't even cold. I slept in more or less next to nothing under like 4 blankets, but that's totally besides the point. We slept like kind of in the same area. So just because you're like, oh, I need it to be cold in my room, they don't understand that. Like my kids, if it's below 68, that's like the magical number. They are like, nope, I don't want to sleep here. I don't know what it is about that magical number. So now I have like a heater in the room that's timed. And if it goes below 69, it turns on.
Perfect.
I have not had a wake up due to being cold since doing this.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Ella just sleeps in cotton sleeper, sometimes a fleece sleeper if we're out of the house. And she just has a light cotton sleep sack.
And I have
good. She's always warm when I get her up in the morning.
I have two, so one each, polar fleece sleepers. I put these on if we're going to go outside. We went to a night market on Saturday night, which I posted on Instagram. And, like, the girls had a polar fleece sleeper on underneath all of their winter gear. So, yeah, they're only wearing a singular layer, but, like, they're never cold. And it was, I think, 1 degree out, so it wasn't even that cold out with zero wind. And it wasn't snowing or anything crazy, too.
Yeah, their bodies regulate temperature better than ours do. So if they are cold, it will adjust, like their bodies will adjust to it.
Something that I learned when I was in the hospital, and I don't know if this is like exclusive for preemies, but it is a rather serious topic, especially with like newborns. Don't overdress your child. I understand everyone's like, oh, bundle them up, bundle them up. Yes, I understand why your grandma keeps saying, oh, put a blanket on him, put a blanket on him. They grew up when they didn't have like real heat in their houses, especially me. Like I grew up in the county. So for me, like the upstairs of our house, like where I'm currently at, does not have heat. So when I record and the door is closed, like I'm starting to get cold and I'm in like sweatpants and like a t-shirt and I'm about to go work out. So like the rest of my house is fine. It's literally just this room that's freezing all the time. But don't overdress your kids. There is actually a few studies that say that if you overdress your kids and they're warm for an extended period of time, there is a correlation between that and SIDS. And I'm talking like bundling them in a snowsuit for 6 hours in July. Like you're essentially cooking your kid. I'm not saying wearing a sweater in your super air conditioned car in July while you go to the grocery store that's like 20 minutes away is going to kill them. Consistently having your child overdressed for hours at a time can heighten the chances of SIDS, especially newborns. And to end on a lighter note, we're going to talk about how to take a sleeper off, or sorry, anything really off after a blowout.
Mostly onesies.
Because most parents are like, I don't know how to do this. And then you get poop everywhere. So
yeah.
Take everything off, shoulders down. So the onesies have like an overlapped shoulder. If you pull it towards their back and then towards their front, so it opens up, it'll actually go over your child's shoulders and come down. It's designed that way for a reason so that you don't end up pulling a poopy onesie over their head. If you have that delightful one-piece sleeper that only has three clasps at the back of their neck and only goes around like ankle to ankle, here's how you take that off without getting poop everywhere. This is what I have done. I take the feet and I more or less crisscross and sandwich where the poop is. And then I roll it over their head. So by the time it gets to their head, the poop is encased in so many layers of fabric, it doesn't go anywhere.
I like it.
It's hard to explain. I probably will just end up making a video to show everyone what I mean. If you can with a blowout, I have even taken a fresh diaper because I'm like, I can't get this off without getting it everywhere. And I will sandwich the clothing in the diaper so it doesn't go anywhere and cause further mess. And all the clothing that I have, as soon as it is covered in poop, I throw it in a sink in water, which is warm, with a little bit of, I use my laundry detergent, but really you can use like Dawn dish soap and peroxide, which is one part Dawn dish soap, two parts peroxide. And I use like a vegetable scrub brush and I will scrub their clothing until it's almost clean.
Especially in those early newborn stages, that poop is hard to get out. So the sooner you get it soaking and get it cleaned up, the better off you are.
I got a poop-filled undershirt home from daycare the other day, and they hadn't even rinsed it out. Like, it still had a kernel of corn in the shirt. I'm like, lovely. So glad you're making me clean this, which is fine. I'm their parent. It's my job. And I threw it in the sink with water, and I was like, well, we're just going to go have dinner. After dinner, we had a bath. I totally forgot the shirt was in the sink. Like, 3 hours later, I came back to it. And I emptied the sink, wrung it out, sprayed it with Dawn dish soap, scrubbed both sides of where the poop was. And I was doing a load of laundry that night, and this white undershirt should not have gone in my dark load. And don't come at me for I don't sort my laundry. I don't care. I sort my laundry. Always have. And I was like, I don't even care if this is anything. I'm just going to throw it in the wash. So I threw it in the wash. It came out. It didn't bleed any colors into it, but you couldn't even tell there was poop on this onesie.
That's good.
So even if the poop has sat there all day from daycare, you can still get it out.
Yes. But make it easier on yourself and soak it.
Yeah, soak it and then forget that you are soaking it for like a few hours. It'll definitely help.
And we've all done it. So we've all forgotten about our laundry. That's for sure.
A cup of coffee in the microwave, laundry in the washing machine, your kid at the grocery store. And I'm just kidding.
Do you want to go with your highs and lows?
I can. So my low is I had to pick the girls up from daycare. We ended up having to go to the hospital because Kinsley was a bit lethargic and I was extremely concerned about her potentially passing out, losing consciousness, having a seizure. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. She wasn't herself and I was concerned. We had to go get chest x-rays, which we're going to post a picture as to what your child looks like when they have to go for an x-ray. It does look like a torture device. The girls had almost zero tears when they were in this. I think it was like the first few seconds when they got put in, they were like scared. And then I gave them a kiss and told them I love them and they were fine. But the girls got diagnosed with acute atopic pneumonia. Kinsley has it in the bottom of her left lung. Reagan has it in the bottom of her right lung. So we're on antibiotics again. And I am also having them on cough syrup. And of course, they're home from daycare, which totally screws up my plans for the week. But yeah, so that's what the girls are at. My highs, because I have a bunch. I am working on getting back on my feet. Obviously, I lost my job, which was an issue, but I am working towards getting everything back to where it should be. I passed my course. I am waiting to write my exam and then I can start working. Reagan is really starting to like hone in on cleaning. I watched an Instagram and it was like, if your kids can take it out of the box, they can put it back in the box. So I've been working on, okay, it's time for bed. Let's tidy up. And the girls walked themselves downstairs one night because they wanted to. And I was like, okay, whatever. And Reagan got down first. She ran over, grabbed a toy that was in front of her crib that had been left there from playing earlier in the day and went and put it back in the bin. I didn't have to ask.
That's awesome.
She just like cleaned up on her own. And I was like, success. I have bread cleaners. I'm so excited. I also now will give them the cloth at the end of dinner and they like wipe their hands with it and wipe their face. I mean, they still need some help. And if it's a greasier meal, like pasta, or we had sloppy joes one night, or if it's something like Nutella, yeah, they need help. But if it's like they ate a cookie and they just need to brush their hands off, like they're good. So they're really starting to get their independent stride and I'm really excited. And another low is this is the last time we're going to record in 2021 and I'm super sad.
Me too, but I feel like we need the break.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. We did take a break. I'm going to say mid-season if this is season one of our podcast.
Yeah.
We did take a mid-season break and we probably will again in the beginning of summer just to get ourselves right, I feel like, but
this one's longer though. It's our long break, but it's
not going to feel very long.
No.
Oh, and my last high is I made snowman presents for my kids. And they were super excited to see them, and then Reagan got scared of them.
So you'll have to post those soon.
Yes, I'm definitely going to be.
So other parents can kind of do the same thing. So I will start with my lows. Ella got an eye infection, so I feel like it was building up most of the week. She had like eye boogers, and then Friday when I picked her up from daycare, her one eye was red and looked like she hit it off something. I took her to Shoppers. I took her to the pharmacy to get some meds to help until we could get into a clinic because our hospital wait times in Windsor are ridiculous.
I joked and told you to drive to London and get in because you would have gotten in faster.
Yeah, I would have. Way faster. And I actually met a mom at the pharmacy who took one look at Ellen, was like, oh my God, my son is going through the exact same thing right now. Like, they look identical. So I actually ended up talking to her for a few minutes to find out what the doctor said and what they recommended. So I did that, but then took Ella to the clinic the following day to get antibiotics because that's what was needed. Within, I want to say 4 hours, her eye started to look so much better. So she's at daycare today, thank God. So mommy can work, but she's doing so much better. Daycare questioned her eye this morning, and I was like, she was with you when it was really bad on Friday, and you're questioning it today? I was like, she did have an eye infection, and I, like, was very honest with them, but, and I told them that she was on antibiotics and that it's been more than 48 hours, so nothing to worry about.
Yeah, my daycare this morning, because I had to pick the girls up on Friday and took them to the hospital, they're like, so how are they doing? I'm like, we're good. They're fine. I'm keeping them home an extra day. Kinsley had a fever yesterday, so I'm just going to keep them home and give them more drugs and hopefully fix everything.
It's just never ending. It's that time of the year, and with kids in daycare, they're going to get sick.
Yes. We are close to Christmas. There's a lot of families out there that really want to get together for Christmas. And if you're going to send your kid to daycare, be mindful that if they're sick, they're going to get everyone else sick. And we don't want to be sick at Christmas. So
yeah,
keep your kid home for like 24 hours and give them some drugs, like that are cough and cold medicine, not drugs, I guess, and get them to feel better before you send them back.
Yes. My high is Ella met Santa on Saturday, and we did breakfast with Santa. She actually took to it really well. She kind of just, who are you and what are you doing? But, oh, you gave me a present, so yay. And no longer cared anymore. So it was really good. My mom's work put it on, so it was really nice to support her work. And yeah, we just had a all around pretty good weekend, and I'm so sad that this is going to be our last one, but for the year, but it's much needed. I need to focus on cleaning my house and decorating more. My tree is up, but that's about it. So
I really, Carla really wants to do the TikTok of like the ball bouncing and then the grenade goes off. Not, it's Christmas.
It's not happening. My tree is decorated.
So our tree is up. My mom did it after the girls went to bed one night, and like I kind of let my mom do the tree because like she's very particular how we have an artificial tree, so like how the branches are and everything else. She only did two sections, and then she set it up and she sat down, and I was like, so we're gonna decorate it tomorrow? And she goes, do we need to? And I was like, honestly, no. I was like, for this year, like the girls aren't big enough to help you. It's just gonna get knocked over between the girls and the dog, and something's gonna fall off and break. I said, this way there's nothing on it. So there's nothing really of interest with the tree. There's enough presents around it that it's just going to be surrounded by stuff. Because we have like big box items that we have. It's just a very large box. So over 50% of the lower half of the tree is covered between the snowman and this big boxes that we have. So why would we decorate it? So that we literally just have like a pre-lit tree that has nothing on it.
Actually, there's a lot of people that aren't decorating their trees this year.
It makes so much more sense.
I decorated. I feel like Ella's doing really good with not touching, but some days are better than others.
I just
have to remind her, look with your eyes, which she points to her ears, and not with your hands.
The girls forget and watch over it. Like, Kinsley walks over with a finger, and I'm like, don't touch. And then she turns and looks at you with like a little mischievous smile.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you are such a little bugger.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine who put her tree up after me. And I was like, how's it going? And she sent me a picture and all of her ornaments were on the upper half of the tree now. And I was like, that good, eh? 5 kids and a puppy. So.
Oh my God.
Understandably.
That's why we have it. I'm like, between the dog and the girls, it's just, don't worry about it. It's extra work to put them on. It's extra work to take them off. We constantly have to be monitoring everyone every single time they come in this room.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
For sure. All righty.
For the last time of 2021.
Thank you for listening to episode 36 of our podcast. We appreciate all the support. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you are listening to us on. Also, if you know someone who would benefit from our information, please share. Our social media is packed with all of today's hacks, apps, and products that we used. So please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/momsurvivinglife and on Instagram at momsurvivinglife, all one word. If you have a question or comment, please feel free to private message us on Instagram or Facebook, or email us at momsurvivinglife@gmail.com. See you in 2022.